And boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
Good evening, and welcome to Episode 7 of Boom Goes the Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite Review Show here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I'm Jeffrey. With me tonight, once again, is Lawrence. Lawrence, how you doing, man?
I am a shell of myself, but I'm here, and I'm ready. I'm ready for some more AEW talk.
Chris, once again, wasn't able to make it for reasons, so we'll just let that lie where that is. So we hope to have him back next week. So we got a lot to cover, and I want to keep this under an hour. So let's get right into it. They dropped AEW Dark on Friday this past week instead of last night. So I didn't even realize that until I was watching Full Gear.
Which, yes. Oops.
Yeah. Yeah, whoops. So I did, even though I watched it on Tuesday as God intended it, but we're going to cover Dark first because, you know, in continuity it happened first. And we once again have Tony Schiavone and Dasha Gonzalez in the control center with live at the matches, your commentators Excalibur, Golden Boy, and for the first match, Arn Anderson. Double A.
Yeah.
Pulling commentary duty. For the first match, this is probably the most un-Arn Anderson match I can think of for him to be doing commentary, but your opening match on Dark was Hikaru Shida versus Big Swole.
Wow.
And I actually really enjoyed this match.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I would highly advise, if you haven't seen that match, definitely watch it. It took a little bit for the crowd to get into it, but they did. Hikaru Shida, of course, is Hikaru Shida, and Big Swole. I'm really enjoying both of her matches so far in AEW, because she was on Dark last week, of course, too.
Mm.
So definitely check that one out. The second match, Arn Anderson had left after this, and we, for the rest of the show, we got Chuck Taylor on commentary.
Oh my God.
It wasn't quite as goofy as you thought it would be. But the next match was Shalonda Royale and Shaza McKenzie going up against Leva Bates and Nyla Rose.
What a random what?
Which very quickly turned into Nyla Rose against the other two and her washing Leva Bates out of the match.
Oh, that! Thank God for that.
Yeah. So they're basically on the rebuild path for Nyla Rose. The crowd was dead for this match. It was okay. I thought both Royale and Shaza McKenzie did all right, but this was clearly just an exhibition in Nyla Rose just washing the bejesus out of the other women in the ring, including her partner, who got absolutely no ring time in this match.
Right.
Which means Chris would have been into it if he saw it. Mm-hmm. So I know he is very down on Leva Bates.
Yep.
And then, they followed that up with a lot of promo videos, hyping Full Gear because, of course, this was right before Full Gear, and then we got the main event, in which SCU, the champions, Kazarian, Scorpio, and Shima, who'd already teamed with SCU a couple of times, at least once on Dark. And they were going up against a reunited team, Kip Sabian, and the Hybrid 2, Jack Evans and Angelico. This was what it was. It was mostly a spot fest. Shima actually got the win on Kip Sabian with Meteora. My biggest comment on this is that somebody needs to educate Excalibur that Shima never won Super J-Cup.
What? He said that?
This is twice he has said this now.
Where is he getting that from?
Yeah, I don't know where he gets the idea that Shima won Super J-Cup, because that never happened, folks.
What the hell?
Liger beat him in Super J-Cup 2000.
That's very strange.
Yeah, I would like to know the origin of Excalibur's misapprehension on the Super J-Cup history here.
Wow. That's a very non-Excalibur like type of mistake too. He's usually very, very good about knowing that stuff. So
yeah,
really odd.
It is kind of odd, but this is not
that's,
the first that's
time
a
pretty
he
simple
said this.
Fact. That's a pretty simple fact check too. Like, I mean, that's not like, you know, like that's pretty weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody needs to educate that boy though.
Okay, my question is, how has Shima not made it onto a actual episode of Dynamite yet?
Yeah, you're right.
Things for me. I'm like, how has he been only on the dark matches so far? I'm very surprised. Like, as a guy of his stature, like what? I'm shocked that he's like.
He's one of three people who actually made it onto WCW Monday Nitro in AEW.
Right, yeah.
You think that they would be all over that part?
Yeah, I'm just very, very confused about that. I mean, like, the dude's flying out to do dark matches? Like, I don't know. This is very weird for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's just liking them. Maybe they're paying him enough to do it.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, it's like... It's just, I don't know, I just think it's really strange. It's one of the things I've been very
puzzled about. Shima is actually still out really fucking good, it turns out, so.
Yeah. Shima's still pretty damn good, so.
Yeah. So, Lawrence, let's talk Full Gear.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the pre-show?
Yes.
I missed most of it, but I came in during... You know, right when they were starting Britt Baker versus Bea Priestley.
Yeah, that was a match that happened.
That was a match that happened, yeah. That was a hard meh for me.
Yeah, I
did not care.
It's funny.
About that match.
It didn't even like really feel as intense as they tried to make it out to be. You know, it really never felt like that at all. Like, it never really felt like, oh my God, like, we're shooting, brother. Like, it never felt like that during the actual match.
No, it really didn't. But
it was just really, it was a very bad disconnect, and I don't know.
So,
Britt Baker just stinks. I'm sorry, but she just stinks.
I don't think she stinks, but they are really trying to push her as like the thing in the women's division, and well, I think they kind of realize that yeah, it's not going to happen because she's been relegated to dark.
And like B's like, she's like, I'm not even gonna, she's not bad, but she's just very green. I mean, it's just very clear she's just not like very experienced yet.
Yeah.
And it comes across, you know, in a lot of different ways. But yeah, so I mean, it happened. Nothing really too.
Yeah, I mean, it was a warm-up. It was a warm-up match for the crowd. I don't think they were ever thinking that was gonna light the world on fire. But you know, they could have surprised us, but they chose not to. So, moving on, the first match on Full Gear proper was the Young Bucks against Proud and Powerful Santana and Ortiz. A lot of people were very high on this match. I thought it was good and solid, if not spectacular.
Yeah, I felt like it really, it started off really, it just felt out of rhythm, at the start. They finally kind of got, into their stuff though later on, and it kind of got better, but from what I remember, it just felt very, disjointed at first.
Yeah. Yeah. I would tend to agree with that. Because it was good. It wasn't great, I didn't think. But you know, that's just me on that point. And now I wrote this down out of order, so I may be screwing up the order of some of this. I think the next match was Adam Page against Pac. Is that correct?
I can tell you right now. I know my I'm fuzzy too, but
Well, I wrote it down. I wrote it down after the fact. I didn't take notes.
Yes, you know you're correct. You were
okay.
Correct.
Adam Page versus Pac was really good.
Yeah, I really liked what these guys have been doing. They had another really good match here. This was a little more slower paced than their first match. Right? Just because this was their second match.
Yeah. So.
And but it, not in a bad way, but just like it was just a little different. In terms of how it went, but I think these guys have gotten some really, really good chemistry together, working together now, and it actually showed on Dynamite as well.
Which we'll get to that.
Yeah, I'll talk about that. This was a very good match.
It was indeed. The next match simply was not. Sean Spears against Joey Janela.
I legitimately don't remember.
Match fucking sucked.
I think me and my buddies, Mike, and I have my friends, Mike and JP over, and we were watching the show together, and I think we just started talking about, like, whatever during this, and, like, I forgot anything that really happened during this, and
this match was crapola. Sean Spears is hot garbage.
I people brought this up, like, on Twitter. How is a guy like Sonny Kiss not getting on TV over this guy?
Yeah,
like, are you kidding me? Like, this is a joke. I mean nobody cares.
There are some questionable. Well, there's some other questionable things we're gonna bring up about the TV tonight too.
There is just absolute indifference toward this guy. Not even there's no heat. Yeah. There's no excitement. It's just indifference. No one cares.
Yeah, it's like he got the heat from legit cracking open Cody Rhodes, and then once Cody Rhodes washed him at All Out, that was it.
Whatever. Like, what else does this guy bring to the table? Nothing. Like,
yeah, exactly. And we're gonna see, you know, more examples of that coming up too.
Yeah.
The next match. I think this was the next match.
The three-way tag.
Oh, the three-way tag. Okay, the tag match was next. Okay. It was good. It wasn't great. I still don't like the result, and I don't like that they're trying to push the Lucha Bros as heels.
It's very strange. I'm very, very puzzled about that decision, but I don't know. It's not really working. I mean, that's for sure.
No matter what, I mean, I can only speak for myself. I know for the fact that I'm going to be cheering on anything that Penta and Phoenix do.
I think they have it all backwards, you know?
And they keep hyping up Scorpio Sky as one of the most athletic guys on the roster when Phoenix is right there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, let's be real now.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, they are really misusing the Lucha Bros right now. And in the meantime, Private Party, they're the lowest on the pecking order, so they got, you know, they took the pin.
Yeah, you know,
and it was a big angle to bring Christopher Daniels back, you know, dressed as Penta, because, you know, AEW hasn't already done that twice. Well, I guess technically the first time they did it, it wasn't AEW yet, because Jericho had dressed as Penta after Penta versus Omega at All In.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on, that's like, yeah, that's twice that this creative team have gone to the well on that one.
Yeah.
But the next match might have been my match of the night had the main event not happened, but Riho against Emi Sakura. I was all about this match.
Great match.
And it was night and day. You know, the difference between Britt Baker versus Bea Priestley and Riho versus Emi Sakura was like night and day.
Well, it helps when they've had, like, 30 singles matches I think, right? Or something
like
that
something
nature.
Like that, yeah.
And that, you know, she literally like trained Riho. So, I mean,
they had that going for them. God,
definitely a little bit of an advantage there. I'm gonna like say that much, but oh no,
was fantastic.
I mean, that one point where they were just trading like pinning combinations was just like a ridiculous.
That was like an actual Joshi match on a US pay-per-view, you know.
Yeah.
It was
they were just so insane. I mean, like I said, that whole sequence where they tried pinning each other with all the different kinds of flash pins were just like crazy. And I like that's Riho's thing, is that she just kind of gets you out of like thin air sometimes with those, and
which is what they're trying to do with Scorpio Sky, as Dynamite proved. But anyway, moving on. Riho versus Emi Sakura, definitely go out of your way to see that match. Actually, you know what? The next two matches, you could probably say that too. AEW World Title match between Le Champion Chris Jericho and the challenger Cody Rhodes. Of course, Cody Rhodes said that if he does not win the title, he will never challenge for it again. Lo and behold, who knew that was going to come back to bite them with, you know, the heel turn we all saw coming from about episode one of Dynamite.
Oh yeah. First of all, this was very, very, very good. I mean, I really have enjoyed Cody's work as an AEW. I think he's fully embraced that role of just like, I mean, honestly, I mean, if we're being real here, I mean, he's basically doing a tribute act to his dad. I mean, like, pretty much. I mean, if you think about it, he's doing a lot of the similar stuff that his dad used to do in these kinds of matches, and a lot of it hasn't been on purpose. like said, ramp bump that absolutely destroyed Cody's face. Which added more to the match than actually in doing so.
It really did. And also, you know, the fact that, you know, his mother was there and she smacked the shit out of Jericho. That was
great.
And you know, the best part was that she was just sitting there watching her son wrestle with a gusher.
Yeah.
It's like, what does she give a shit? Her husband was goddamn Dusty Rose. You know,
yeah,
how,
like, yeah,
you know how much he's
here
blood?
Yeah. Been there, done that.
Yeah, right.
Ain't nothing new.
Yeah. Well,
but yeah, I mean, then obviously, you know, it was very good back and forth stuff. But then, Hager got involved and he got thrown out after he was being a shithead for throughout the match. And he finally got tossed and it was to a big ovation. And, you know, I thought that, you know, that was a good, like, more like it just even juiced up the crowd even more. Kind of got him behind Cody even more so. And but then we get the big moment where MJF, supposedly Cody's best friend. How many of us were buying at that at this point?
They've been trying to go with for forever, but yeah, I mean, like, we didn't see this coming from a mile away,
yeah. And so I don't know. My question is, Jeff, did they blow their load too early on this? Do you think they might have blown their load too early on this, and they could have milked this a little longer?
Yeah, I think maybe they could have. I think they maybe could have, you know, saved the heel turn for a Dynamite, you know?
Yeah, I mean, in the moment I really liked it, but then I was kind of thinking about it. I'm like, you know, I think they maybe could have, like, had MJF grovel a little more and kind of sell it a little more for a little longer, kind of like drag it out, just kind of lure Cody into a false sense of security even more so.
Yeah.
And then like feel kind of look like he's feeling genuinely bad about it. But like, he was like, I'm looking out for you, and maybe not have just done it right away. But I get it though. You want it kind of, sometimes you just get tempted to do it on the big stage like that, on the pay-per-view and big moment people to talk about, but you kind of get impatient a little bit and you want to just get to it. You know, maybe they could have done it, but they did it. It's done, you know, and now they're gonna roll with it. And you know, we see the results of that on Dynamite and some interesting segment there.
Yes, we did. But now I want to talk about the main event.
Oof, boy.
Oh, my God. That was an experience.
Yes, it was.
And it was not like the... I'm just going to throw this out there. This was not like the, you know... This is not an all-out Combat Zone or Freedoms or Big Japan or GCW. No.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of people say like that, and I was like, no, it's not a BJW level deathmatch.
As an approximation of it for quote unquote mainstream U.S. wrestling in the USA. And of course, you know, I used to watch death matches a lot, but this is like, you know, the FMW and early. This is like Tomoki Honma versus Ryuji Yamakawa era Big Japan is when I was watching death matches, right?
Oh man, Jeff aging himself a little bit here.
I make no bones about it, but you know, my sensibilities have changed over the years. I can't watch death matches per se anymore, but I was riveted this whole way. And you know, it's good because they, you know, they had the build for it. They had that, despite what that idiot at Pro Wrestling Illustrated wanted to say, who I don't know who it was.
Wuss.
What?
Wuss.
Yeah. Say Moxley and Omega proved that they had the hatred for each other. I mean, it had been going that way since episode one of Dynamite. So it wasn't like there was nothing false about it. None of it felt false.
No, the guy's a wuss.
I mean, it had the build. It had the hatred. Moxley, of course, still willing to bleed like no tomorrow.
Man, I'm just like, I'm sick of some people just with wrestling, man. Like, what do you want it to be? Just a bunch of like finesse, like, oh no, let's not hurt each other. Give me a break.
I mean, I could see. Okay, yeah. Don't confuse concern for the Don't confuse concern for the wrestler's well-being with, you know, not wanting to have the fantasy of the fight.
Oh, they know what they're getting into.
Well, they do, but you still don't want them to be, you know. You know, hurt too badly.
That's not our job as fans. That's not our job. It's like they're gonna go out there and they're gonna do whatever the hell they're gonna do to each other, and that's what it is.
Well,
and,
it is what it is. Again, as far as hardcore or hardcore bordering on death matches, it's not something I can watch a lot. I mean, this is the first match of that type I've watched in 2 years. The last time I watch a match like that.
Is it more of a gross out thing for you, or is it more of like a palate thing? It's like,
I think maybe a bit of both. I think honestly, and I know this doesn't apply. This is just applies. I'm just talking about myself. I think once I had kids, my sensibilities changed a lot. As far as that goes, you know.
Yeah, right. You know, to me,
what I'm trying to get at is like the last match of that type that I watched from beginning to end was the season finale, season one of Lucha Underground, when it was Vampiro against Pentagon.
Yeah,
because I was invested in it because I'd been watching the whole season. I knew the Pentagon story, you know.
Yeah,
and all that, and you know, it's like okay, the storyline did bring me into this. Just having a death match to have a death match doesn't rivet me. If there is a story that warrants it, I will go for it. You know, I will try to brave it out. You know,
I think I'm kind of in that camp with you, to be honest. But I mean, sometimes it'll work. You know, but even if it is, you know, for that reason, but I think it maximizes the potential. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, just, you know, random ass death matches on a CZW card. I will never watch those because, and again, it's not a criticism against Combat Zone Wrestling or Game Changer or any other promotion that runs death matches. It's just, I know what I can handle mentally, and that's not it, you know? it, you know, that's just it, you know? But
yeah,
no,
I don't
as
know.
Far as this match goes, this is a match of the year contender for me, personally.
It was very good. I don't know.
And they even turned into the great outer space battle at one point.
Yeah.
Destroying the ring, you know?
Yeah, it was very insane. I mean, for what it's worth, like, in the environment it was in, it was definitely pretty crazy. I don't know if it's a match of the year for me personally. I think it was very good, but I think a couple times they kind of the pace kind of got a little weird, and there were some odd, you know, choices, I think, stylistically. But I mean, ultimately it did its job. I just think Kenny can be a little ridiculous sometimes in everything that he does. So
yeah, well, I mean, the fact that I went, you know, 40 minutes, you know,
yeah, that's obviously the length was a little bit of an issue, I think.
Yeah,
here.
I think that's the one criticism I would have, but otherwise, yeah. I mean, I was completely riveted the whole way. So
it was good.
But overall, but for some other ancillary things, I actually overall gave Full Gear a C+. Part of that being because Jim Ross was having a fucking mare on commentary. And it's like the only time he sounded lucid during the commentary was during Cody versus Jericho and Omega versus Moxley.
They needed Tony there so bad.
Yeah, they really did. And of course, Tony Schiavone wasn't there because he was engaged with something with the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I gave the show a C+.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, I'd be probably right about the same. I think it was a perfectly fine pay-per-view. You know, it wasn't, because a lot of people really weren't high on it anyway going into it. So I think they did fine with the expectations. I think the top three matches did their job. And then you had Paige and Pac when the undercard was pretty good too. So yeah. Oh, I'm with you on that. I'm definitely.
So now this takes us into episode 7 of AEW Dynamite Live.
Do you know what happened on the first hour, Jeff?
Well,
I'm sorry.
Well, hang on.
I'm sorry. I'm like jumping ahead of you here.
You're jumping the gun here, son.
I can't help it myself sometimes.
Let's walk down, son. if you catch my meaning here. So we're episode 7 of AEW Dynamite live from the Nashville Municipal Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee. We have on commentary, of course, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur. I missed most of the first hour of this show because of work stuff. So, Lawrence, you're going to have to run with this for a little bit.
Okie doke. You're going to be interested in what this first match was.
Okay.
So it's John Moxley versus Michael Nakazawa.
I miss a goddamn Moxley match. Are you fucking kidding me?
But I mean, he was facing Michael Nakazawa, so...
So hopefully he just washed him?
Yes.
thank you. All right.
Essentially. he pretty much, he Nakazawa, like, tossed his baby oil aside, was trying to get serious, and then Moxley hit him with the fucking paradigm shift, and...
Good old Death Rider.
And then Moxley cut a pretty scathing promo. And he was like, that one counts, right?
oh my God.
And then,
the Stone Cold Steve Austin, comparison that you made a couple episodes ago, just keeps getting more and more accurate.
Yeah. He pretty much said Omega was the only one that had the balls to step up to him in the locker room, but he said he'll take everyone down, you know, until he's the last man standing. He called anybody out to confront him but he told them that he'd better kiss their loved ones goodbye and have an ambulance on speed dial.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So, that was that segment.
Wowie zowie. And I missed it. Now, I did see that two of the. Oh, one thing we didn't talk about regarding Full Gear, did you notice all of the executive vice presidents lost?
Yeah, they've been trying to reinforce that idea, I think, of like we're not trying to push ourselves. We
Yeah.
swear.
Well, I mean, in this case, well, I saw the item that both Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega were quote unquote not cleared to wrestle. I could understand Cody because that gash on
Yeah,
his
I think
forehead.
Cody's was legit. I think then I think you're going in that direction. Yeah, Omega's probably wasn't, which I probably agree with the two. So
Yeah, of the two.
yeah,
Yeah,
because Cody legit has like a I think they said he has like his rib like separated from the cartilage too.
Oh, Jesus.
It,
Yeah,
yeah,
I
it
think I
wasn't
did
just
see
the it
that.
wasn't just the gash on his head. Yeah, like he had like a separation where like his rib went from the
Oh
cartilage,
my
which is like
God.
no joke. So.
Yeah. Well, the less Omega the better, because the conspiracy, our favorite conspiracy theorist of the moment. But anyway, so continue. What happened after that?
So, then next was Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy and Marco, versus the Dark Order.
Oh boy.
Yeah, really good match. I enjoy the hell out of it. I still don't understand the people who hate on Dark Order so much. They're a great team, and I think they're doing their job as heels.
Right. I mean, yeah, they're perfectly fine as a heel tag team.
Yeah, I mean, I've always liked them. So I maybe I'm a little biased, but I think they're awesome. I think they're doing a really, really good job. They like Marco and Jungle Boy, they started off really hot on them. Like they were doing a lot of really awesome double team stuff, but then Uno freaking like destroyed Marco with his big boot, and then they just started absolutely destroying Marco for like several minutes, like kind of like a Southern tag sort of deal. And they just were kicking the crap out of him. And they went to like commercial as they were doing that. But then he finally, he like what was it what did he do to Uno? He hit him with like the flatliner. He went and he tagged Jungle Boy in and just went nuts. Jungle Boy, just his hot tag here was just absolutely crazy.
They might be some of the only pure baby faces in the company right now.
Oh, shit, they were over huge. And he was he d to dove took out Grayson on the outside. Then he like he take he like hit Uno with a kick. And then he was just running hot. But then, and this is, and I don't understand why guys do this sometimes, because it doesn't make any logical sense. He goes and tags back out to Marco, who's been in there getting his ass kicked for like however long, and you tag him back in?
Yeah, it don't make much sense, does it?
I think that's stupid. It just looks dumb. But yeah, they and then they but they started like really like going doing double team stuff again, but then they like Jungle Boy got caught outside the ring with the both of them, and they just absolutely killed him out there. And then Stunt was on his own, and they hit him with the fatality, their finisher
You're
for
supposed to say it like Mortal Kombat?
Oh no, I don't have the energy to do that
Fatality.
right now.
Is it supposed to be said like that?
I don't know. But yeah, so they won after that. Really good match. I thought they did a really good, it was a really good TV tag. Worked the pretty formula. I just didn't like when, just Jungle Boy tagging out to Marco. It just logistically just was very weird. In the scheme of things. But not psychologically perfect, but it was fun. Then after that, Uno got all his weird people
The
in
minions.
there. Yeah. He tried to convince Marco to join them. And Jungle Boy like was like stepped in. It was like, get away from him and everything. And then of course Dark Order, they just like start kicking the shit out of them. And then Luchasaurus comes back finally.
Gets a
gigantic reaction.
I thought he was supposed to be out for months.
He took out every single one of the minions, creepers, whatever. He actually hit three of them with one back spinning back kick.
Damn.
Yeah. And then
so I missed Moxley and I missed Luchasaurus.
Yeah, and he took out Grayson, took out, Uno, just sent them to kill them, and Luchasaurus was just, oh my god. Honestly, Jeff, I really think at some point if they slowly build up to it, I think Luchasaurus could be the guy for them.
He was coming across as an absolute star before he had that injury. So I really hope he's able to regain that momentum because,
he legitimately got probably one of the loudest reactions on the show.
Because it was Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus that was one of the things that actually started convincing me about AEW to begin with.
Yeah.
So.
And then
I think this is where I came in, but you start us off.
Maybe it was. So Shawn Spears comes out. Yippee! We got to make the calm the crowd down after that. We gotta have too much excitement here. oh my god! And then just to make it even better, no offense to him, but. Then Peter Avalon and Leva Bates come out.
Yeah.
It just gets better and better, folks.
This is where I came in and I said, I just came in time to turn on my TV and see Sean Spears and the Librarians on my TV. And oh, God, fuck this.
What happened to this show to where we got to this point? But, yeah.
And then I saw Darby Allin and I kind of perked up a little bit.
Yeah. So what a really random three-way match this was. This is like an AEW Dark kind of match on TV.
Yeah. Like,
very weird. But this was like basically the Darby Allin showcase, man. I mean, this was just Steve is just bouncing off the goddamn walls here on everybody. But then Janela interrupted. He took Spears out of the match.
Good. That program's continuing. Yay.
Great. Awesome. Love it. But then, Darby and Avalon had some good little sequences after that. And Allin hit him with the coffin drop. Well, he had like the little stunner he does, and then you know, coffin drop. And then he said, "John Moxley, I accept." In response to John Moxley's promo to start the show, and that's what we get next week, baby, on Dynamite
from my old stomping grounds of Indianapolis.
Holy Christ! This is not the first time these guys have met in a ring together.
I have
to tell you that. No, they They actually had a match back in NEW, like about 15 minutes away from my house in Waterbury, back in June when I was I shouldn't say unfortunately because my girlfriend will kill me, but I was in when my girlfriend was still in Boston. I went up there to visit, and this was happening right during this match happened right at that time, so I could not attend the match. But Darby and Moxley faced each other in Waterbury for NEW in Waterbury PAL for that NEW show, and I heard it was fantastic.
Well, we'll get to see it next week in Indianapolis. So,
But I just did want to say, this is not, I know a lot of people are probably going to jump on this and say, oh, this is a first time matchup. It's not. This has happened once.
Okay. So fair enough.
So there's a bit of a, something established there.
So when we come back from commercial, a wrestler I know nothing about, Danny Jordan, was in the ring, and out came Nyla Rose in her Sonata tribute outfit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
I legitimately don't know about Danny Jordan either, so I apologize if there's hardcore
Danny Jordan fans? Yeah.
women's wrestling fans that are like, "How do you not know her?" That are listening. I'm sorry. I really don't. I haven't followed much of the U.S. indie scene in general as much lately, so I don't know a lot of some of these newer folks. So.
Basically, it turned out that Nyla Rose once again squashing the bejesus out of Danny Jordan as we continue to rebuild Nyla Rose as a
Right.
contender, and then we cut away and we get Allie talking with Tony Schiavone, looking
Oh, yeah.
for Brandi Rhodes and Awesome Kong to murk her, and
Oh,
they
also,
claim her hair once again.
also before that, they did mention that Dustin Rhodes should be back in like under a month.
Oh, they did mention that, yes.
Yeah.
You're right. My bad.
And they announced the Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal.
Also for Indianapolis, so
Yeah.
not sure. They say that the prize is some sort of diamond ring. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but
That's not. Oh my God, we're going back to Battle Bowl, baby. The Battle Bowl ring.
see, I told you, this AEW is WCW
Oh, Cody
cosplay. I'm telling you.
totally doesn't. Cody totally doesn't like
Oh
idolize
boy.
WCW. No, not at all.
Oh boy. So there we get the most Monday Night Raw segment I have seen on AEW Dynamite thus far in the 7 episodes we've done this, 'cause
Oh.
boy did this go on a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, Jericho and then MJF. Oh yeah,
Yeah. It
this
was
was
good. I mean,
impressive.
MJF got some really, really good heat too. Like this was like Cody Rhodes at the New Japan show in Long Beach level heat that MJF was getting, or more recently the Jay White at Madison Square Garden level heat.
You know, the only thing, the one thing I didn't, I wasn't crazy about this with MJF, and I mean, it wasn't MJF's delivery, because his delivery is always great. He's just a prick and piece of shit, so like he's always good at doing that.
Yeah,
It's
and
just,
we did see this heel turn coming from about 50 miles away,
it's
so.
more that there's not a really good motivation here. He didn't very much. He didn't really explain it well. Unless they're gonna like get more into it in the next few weeks and him explain it more. But there was like a very big lack of details. He just it was more just generalizations of like Cody was like, oh, he's a sociopath. Oh, he didn't give a damn about me. He didn't want he did this and he did that. But there was no real like explanation about that. It was just like, okay, so what did Cody actually do to make you wanna, you know, if you just said, hey, you know, I just want to step on him and be better than him, then and you know, go past him, then that's fine. But like, it didn't really come out like that. It was more like Cody did something, you know, did things to cause this, but he didn't say what those things were.
Yeah. So
And that's
meanwhile,
what was weird for me.
yeah. Well, meanwhile, they tease what everybody was thinking about MJF joining the Inner Circle, and it was pointed out on Twitter that there was a bit of promo plagiarism going on here.
Oh,
Lawrence, tell,
yeah.
do tell.
At the request of said person, Yadira at John Moxley's, also known as Y'all Horny, embarrassing. I'm watching Kota win the G1. You know, Yadira is great. She's hilarious. One of the best follows on Twitter. I
At
recommend.
John Moxley's. Yeah, I may be picking up that follow after we record. So hey, shout out to you.
Yadira pointed out a very, very interesting part of this promo when Jericho and I'm sorry, MJF were going, you know, at it with their promos together, and they, you know, they were going like, they said, I know who the biggest jerk in AEW is. And then they kept teasing it and teasing it, and then they both said Cody at the same time. Well, a few years ago, if you remember, on it was I believe it was 2016, when Jericho and Kevin Owens were on the highlight reel. This was after Survivor Series when Team Raw got upset by Team SmackDown, and you know they were, and then Jericho and Owens were saying, "Well, we both know, like we know who the biggest reason, why the Raw lost," and they said Roman Reigns at the same time, and they embraced. It was pretty much the almost in the same exact vein of that. They did almost the same thing. They recycled it, basically.
I would just like to say that this is not the worst promo plagiarism I have heard in 2019, though, because I was witness to the other worst one, to the absolute worst bit of promo plagiarism, and this was at the GCW Black Label show in Hoffman Estates the night before All Out, in which Jerry Lawler tried to redo the ECW arena promo. And of course, because he is a rambling, brain melted goon at this point, it was just it was a waste of a wrestler that I really like in Mance Warner too. I mean, I know Mance had a blast, but you know, Jerry Lawler is a piece of shit, and that promo was that whole affair was literally 25 minutes of my life I will never get back.
Oh man, awful.
Anyway, so after the plagiarism, we got Cody out, and oh boy, does he have a gash on his forehead.
I have to point out there was one hilarious line that MJF that Jericho said MJF's parents got horny when Jericho was beating Juventud on WCW Saturday Night 25 years ago.
That was pretty funny.
And that's how he was made.
that was pretty funny. I will agree with that. So of course, you know, Cody storms the ring and starts, you know, trying to take out both Jericho and MJF. And then in the words of our friends at Days of Thunder, a large man appeared.
Wardlow's here.
I know absolutely zippo about this Wardlow character.
God damn, he looks intimidating, though. Holy shit.
He's got the look. I'll give him that. But then,
And he hung Cody over the top rope by his tie.
With a Burberry tie to match MJF's scarf. So I guess we have a little bit of little subunit going on here between MJF and Wardlow.
Yeah, so like it wasn't clear if MJF really did join the Inner Circle. It doesn't look like that. It looks like it was kind of like a tease, but I don't think they're actually going through with it. And it's more like MJF's going to do his own thing and on his own time and his own rules. So
you know, honestly, if I were MJF, I would have been pulling the Dr. Doom line, which is you should have come to me to begin with.
Right.
You know.
And I think this was 100% the right move, and I hope that you shouldn't add more to the Inner Circle, because it's you know, NWO syndrome. You know how that goes.
The next match, was good, but I have some storytelling problems with it.
Really?
It was allegedly the rubber match between Adam Page and Pac. They advertised the pay-per-view match as the rubber match. If you'll recall.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
Of course, you know, Pac wins the feud. Again, great match.
But
Pac wins the feud, so therefore completely nullifying and negating the whole point of the pay-per-view match. And I have a little bit of problem with that.
It's a little iffy. But I gotta say, though, man, the callbacks in this match to all their other matches ruled. They did such a good job, like, calling back to a bunch of spots that were in their other match, and then one of the guys would react differently because they knew what could be coming.
Yeah, no. The match itself was fine. I have a problem with the fact with they placed it on the TV immediately following the pay-per-view, and therefore, it more or less nullified the result of that pay-per-view match, and they didn't get a chance for Adam Page to build some more heat for himself.
Right,
leading up to that, I think they could have waited on this at least a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I get that, but I don't know. I think I think it worked. I mean, I don't, I wasn't, I don't have too much of a problem with it.
Well,
But
I get the only problem I have with it is from the storytelling point of view. I think they rushed it.
I think, well, I'm just saying, I think the storytelling in the match was absolutely
Oh,
fantastic.
it was.
I think
It was.
I think they did a great job of, like I said, calling back to some awesome spots. Like, I loved that, like when they Pac tried to do the low blow thing again with the ref, and you know Paige caught it again, but this time Pac went and hit an enziguri on Paige before Paige got an opportunity to like flip him again and get rid of him, and you know, so he caught on to the last time because he was like, okay, I'm gonna do this knowing Paige is gonna react to it this way, so I'm gonna. It was just really like. Like good stuff, man.
Yeah.
And then, then also they were gonna do the brainbuster spot again, but then Paige reversed it, and then he hit the brainbuster on Pac on the floor instead of you know the other
yeah.
way around
oh,
at,
yeah.
at full gear.
No,
that was I love this stuff, man.
Yeah,
this was
again,
great.
It was probably the best. It was definitely the best match of the night, at least you know the stuff that I saw.
And then at the end too, they went back to the first match where Pac won with where he hit the. A black arrow, the black arrow, the black arrow, ladies and gentlemen. I will not get that wrong ever again. But he did the black arrow.
While Chris and I insist on calling Paradigm Shift Death Rider. So,
yeah, he hit you know Paige with the black arrow on his back again, and then he put the brutalizer on, and they rang the bell just like the first match. So. Just a bunch of like awesome, like they went back to a lot of the things they did.
No, again, I agree. I just think that the pacing, you know, the placement of it, I think they could have extended it a little bit, and it just seemed like it made the pay per view match a waste. It seemed to me, but you know, again, we can disagree on this, and you know, life will move on. So after that. We go backstage because apparently we are becoming Monday Night Raw. And Proud and Powerful against the Young Bucks. They're going all over the damn place. They're brawling. They're doing a tribute to Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, yeah.
There's
actually a couple. They had a couple of tributes here to Eddie, and I love it.
And
I'll mention one of them in a little bit if you don't.
Well, go ahead. Why don't you go ahead?
Well, first of all, can we talk about Orange Cassidy in the fucking bathroom?
Well, that's what I was getting to.
Yeah, okay. Oh, my God.
Orange Cassidy is going to be the biggest star from this show.
I think he already is.
I think you might be right.
I think he got the biggest pop in the night. Aside from the Luchasaurus.
Orange Cassidy... You know, people say that, you know, that they need that, you know, WWE has problems making new stars, and here's AEW, and two of the biggest stars, three of their biggest stars right now are Darby Allin, Luchasaurus, and Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy has not wrestled a fucking match yet, and he is, like, one of the biggest stars of this company.
Amazing.
Absolutely amazing. But go ahead with the Eddie Guerrero trip. Well, we know the one when Ortiz, you know, did the frog splash.
Yeah, there was that. But then when Cutler came out there to help him, and they were about to walk away, and then Ortiz said, "Hey, guess what, Brandon? We lied." That's an Eddie Guerrero line right there.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah, they said we lied. That's an Eddie Guerrero line right there.
Okay, great. That's great. Yeah, you know what? I am all for the Elite getting brutalized on their own TV show. I am all for this. Also, while we're talking about the Orange Cassidy bit, let's not sleep on the fact that I think was it Ortiz or it was Santana just kind of slowly closed the door. that was the cherry on the whole thing.
I'm so glad that I knew some of the guys were gonna do something for Eddie on this show. I mean, I'm glad
it was good stuff. It was really good stuff, and I was entertained through that whole segment. Unlike our main event tonight. And AEW World Tag Team Championship defense, SCU, Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky with Christopher Daniels back against Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. I think we knew that SCU were going to retain. I did not see a fucking roll-up on Jericho to get his first defeat in this company.
Whoo, boy. This is some galaxy brain stuff here, folks.
Some really galaxy brain stuff.
I mean, you know, it's like, that's the first fall that Jericho takes.
Into
like,
Scorpio Sky. Not Jon Moxley. Not Kenny Omega. Not Adam Page, which is, you know, he's had an actual feud with. Not, you know, I mean, hell, Darby Allin nearly got
him. Yeah, right. And I'm just,
with his hands tied behind his back. Yeah, I got questions about this push of SCU. I have serious questions about this.
Also, apparently at one point here, I missed it. I think I had my volume kind of down low. JR apparently called Jake Hager Swagger.
Oh, JR. JR.
Holy mother.
This
match was like pretty solid. I mean, like, I like Guevara did some pretty cool stuff, but it was just, you know,
nothing tag
story. I guess story builder match. I mean, I guess Scorpio Sky.
Oh dear God! If we get Chris Jericho versus Scorpio Sky for the world title, I'm gonna have some serious questions here.
This just felt very random. Like, I'm very,
I mean, this is Scorpio shtick now. I mean, Scorpio's now even taken Riho shtick. You know, with the random
rumbles, yeah.
Because that's how he beat Pentagon. I think that's how he beat,
right.
That's how they retain, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, whatever. If that's what it's going to be, if Scorpio Sky, if the bar that Scorpio Sky wants to clear is Toriano, okay, cool, but, you know. Does he have to have a title to do this too?
Don't disrespect Toriano like that.
Yes, I'm sorry. He is my other show's mascot. Strong Style Story, which, of course, we dropped an episode of that this past week, which you all should listen to. So, overall, all right, pros and cons.
I think they did a ton of story building on this show. Very necessary story building.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. A lot of promos. The matches were all really short.
Yeah, and like even with something
and only five matches once again.
Yeah, and even on something as simple as what you would call it, like the Bucks getting injured even more by Pride and Powerful. Proud and Powerful, Pride and, oh my God, I am so sorry. I'm like,
we both had long days, folks.
My brain is filled with brain worms right now.
Yeah,
we
both had long days. We're wrapping this up.
but it's just something, even stuff as simple as that. You know, there was always a lot of steps made towards that. And I think it was very, it was a good change of pace, this show, in terms of like wrestling to promo time and just kind of building stuff up. So that, I think for us TV, that's what TV should do. And I like TV wrestling.
I agree.
Don't get me wrong, you know, but it sometimes doesn't need to overstay its welcome. And I think they did a good job with the pacing on this show. And overall, I thought it was great.
Overall, for the bits I saw, I enjoyed what I saw, except for when I first turned on and saw, you know, Peter Avalon and Leva Bates and
Sean
Spears.
Yeah, that was
Spears
a dark timeline there for a minute. And thank God it didn't last long.
Yeah. My biggest complaint is, I really question this push of SCU, and I also really question the timing of the match between
Paige and Pac.
Yeah, between Paige and Pac, I really think that they kind of did that too soon.
Yeah, you know, now that I think about it, I think you're kind of right on that. Now that you say that, it's like they probably could have like waited a little more on that. Maybe could have done a little more build on it too, and like, you know, made it even more something to look forward to on another Dynamite in the near future. But hey, I mean, I at the same time, like, I guess, you know, it was, the crowd was really hot for it. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, they were really into it. It was a great match. I just questioned the timing of it. That's all. I don't know what the dark matches were. I'm not going to look them up. I heard
Chris Statlander was on.
Whom?
Chris Statlander.
I don't know who Chris Statlander is, and my brain is fried at this point.
She apparently just got signed to WWE.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is very...
Whoa, you
cut, weird.
Yeah, you cut out there, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, so it was very strange that she was actually on the show. Probably why she was on Dark.
Yeah.
But
yeah, whoops.
Yeah, she was apparently tagging with Big Swole.
Oh, well, I like Big Swole, so that's good.
Against, I'm trying to figure it out.
We'll cover it next week.
Against Britt Baker and Riho.
Oh, okay.
This is actually a pretty crazy episode of AEW Dark, and I actually may actually have to watch this. So it's that match. It's Bucks versus Strong Hearts.
Wow.
And Best Friends versus Private Party.
Oh shit! Okay. Yeah, I'm in for Dark next week then.
Yeah, it's.
We'll catch that on Tuesday. We'll talk about it next week.
I'll try to at least. I mean,
and the show and Dynamite will be coming from my old stomping grounds of Indianapolis, Indiana, and I'm kind of knowing what we know about that show. I'm kind of miffed that I'm actually not going to be there for that one. So, shout out to all my friends in Indy, Dion Bunches, J Rose. So many others. I hope you all get to go there and make it and catch that show. So, Lawrence, any plugs?
Just my Twitter is @LOB_3 if you're interested in following me, if you haven't already and you're a listener of the show. Again, have something pretty awesome headed down the pipe here very soon. I know I said this last week, but couple of scheduling conflicts and just having to prepare a little more kind of got in the way. But Jeff knows, but he's not going to spill the beans because he's not a snitch. So it's going to be something I think a lot of Japanese wrestling fans are going to be excited for. I'll just say that much.
And on that night, you can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. My personal Twitter is @GDWessel. That's 2 S's, 1 L. And, of course, I also do the Strong Style Story podcast. We just dropped episode 59 of that here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network over the weekend. So check that out as we talk about the World Tag League that absolutely nobody gives a shit about. And, in fact, we said so in the episode title. So, but we also talk about the return of Hiromu Takahashi, which that makes everything better. So, all right. Well, that's it for this week's episode of Boom Goes a Dynamite. We will be back next week around the same time talking episode 8 from the Farmers Insurance Coliseum in Indianapolis, Indiana. So until then, on behalf of Lawrence O'Brien and myself, have a good week. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.